This is The Week in Addiction Medicine, a podcast resource of timely news and top stories brought to you by the American Society of Addiction Medicine, ASAM.
Today's Tuesday, March 19th, and I'm Claire Rasmussen. Our lead story this week in JAMA is titled Adolescent Delta THC and Marijuana Use in the U.S. To investigate the extent of D8-THC use by adolescents, data were extracted from the 2023 Monitoring the Future study, in which a random selection of 12th grade students were asked about Delta-8-THC use. Prevalence of use over the past 12 months was found to be 11.4%. Use was lower in Western states, states where Delta-8-THC was regulated, and states where marijuana was legal. Next is a study in psychiatry research titled Co-occurrence of Mental Illness and Substance Use Among U.S. Pregnant Individuals, 2012 through 2021. Using a national representative sample of pregnant individuals derived from 2012 to 2021, National Survey of Drug Use and Health data, researchers found that pregnant individuals with greater severity of mental illness were more likely to engage in substance use. The authors conclude that evidence-based educational, screening, and treatment services, as well as public policy changes, are warranted to mitigate the harmful health outcomes of substance use among U.S. pregnant individuals. A new study in Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs is titled Serving Alcohol to an Obviously Intoxicated Patron. A random sample of 60 outlets, including bars and restaurants, was selected from a list of outlets in the San Francisco Bay Area with an on-premises license. Young adults were trained to exhibit signs of intoxication when requesting alcohol at the outlets. Of the 295 attempts, alcohol service was refused only 21% of the time. Upscale fine dining restaurants were more likely to refuse service, and females were refused more often than males. Next is a study in the Journal of Community Health titled Community Support for Harm Reduction and Treatment of Opioid Use Disorder. In this cross-sectional online survey, the authors evaluated beliefs associated with support for community-based interventions. Overall, the authors found significantly more support for MOUD than for naloxone or needle exchange programs. Interestingly, perceived stigma of a program by others was associated with increased support. Next is a study in the Lancet Regional Health, titled Effects of the Communities That Heal, Intervention on Perceived Opioid-Related Community Stigma and the Healing Communities Study. As part of the Healing Communities Study, researchers implemented a community-level intervention, including efforts to reduce community stigma. In this study, they assessed changes in perceived community stigma across 66 communities and found a decrease in stigma towards people who received treatment for OUD and MOUD. However, the decrease in stigma toward MOUD was moderated in rural communities which had higher levels of perceived stigma toward MOUD than urban communities at baseline. These findings support implementation of efforts to decrease community stigma across different communities. A new article in Drug and Alcohol Dependence is titled The Prevalence of Cannabis Use Disorders in People Who Use Medical Cannabis. This systematic review and meta-analysis identified 14 studies regarding medicinal cannabis use and cannabis use disorder that met inclusion criteria. The meta-analysis resulted in a prevalence of CUD in those using medical cannabis of 29%. Tolerance and withdrawal were the most frequently reported criteria. Our next study in the Journal of Addiction Medicine is titled Contemporary Management and Outcomes of Veterans Hospitalized with Alcohol Withdrawal. In this retrospective cohort study, researchers evaluated alcohol withdrawal management between 2018 and 2019 across 19 Veteran Health Administration hospitals. Most patients were managed with system-triggered therapy, while the others were managed with fixed-dose plus symptom-triggered, front-loading plus symptom-triggered, or fixed-dose alone therapy. The system-triggered and front-loading plus symptom-triggered strategies were associated with shorter hospital stays. Our final article in PLOS 1 is titled Protocol for Creating a Dataset of U.S. State Alcohol-Related Firearm Laws, 2000 to 2012. A body of work has generally found that some firearm regulations are associated with lower firearm-related mortality. alcohol has been identified as an additional risk factor for both homicides and suicide, and stronger state alcohol laws have been associated with lower rates of suicide. To date, there are no empirical studies that have investigated the impact of laws over a long period of time that target the intersection of alcohol and firearms. This study describes the protocol for collecting, coding, and operationalizing these legal data. This concludes today's episode of This Week in Addiction Medicine. Remember to subscribe to the ACM Weekly for more exclusive content and our editor's commentary, delivered every Tuesday. Be sure to check us out on social media and ACM.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.